Now, with this decision this morning, this party room vote 61 to 39 in favour of Tony Abbott, some are saying, well, a majority of backbenchers are a part of that 39, and therefore the prospect of another spill is only just around the corner. Janet Albrechtsen has been watching this and, of course, is an excellent columnist with the Australian newspaper, and she's on the line. Janet, good morning.
Good morning, Stuart.
Exasperating in the extreme, I would think, that there is some intent on blowing the whole thing up. Do you feel that Tony Abbott is now mortally wounded? Will he have time to turn things around, or is that vote too large for him to hold it back?
Look, Tony Abbott does have time to turn it around, but not much time, not much time at all. And I think the problem is, and why we saw a vote that large today, remember it's almost two-thirds of those who exercised a free vote who've voted against the Prime Minister, and there was no challenger. Now, these are uncharted waters that we were in. We have never seen a situation like this where you've got such a large part of the party against the Prime Minister with no challenger. It means that Tony Abbott has very, very little time to shore up his leadership. And the concern amongst members, and that's why you have this vote today, the large vote against him, is that there have been no signs to date from the Prime Minister that he understands the nature of the problem, that he's willing to act on it, and that he can turn the government around so that the Labor Party does not win the next election. That is what is on the minds of every single Liberal MP. They do not want to see the Labor Party back in. They don't want to lose their jobs.
It's interesting to note as well, Janet, when you look at some of this stuff today, the news poll out today, the Australian makes the point that it's the worst support since Turnbull was the leader. Luke Simpkins, who was the bloke who kicked all of this off on Friday afternoon, he writes of concerns that the last time we're in this position is when we were being led to support the Rudd government's ETS. And of course, the leader at that time was Malcolm Turnbull. There's no sort of blue sky in any of this, is there?
There certainly is not. No, it's an absolute disaster, I think, for the Liberal Party. It's disaster for the government and for, obviously for the country, because you cannot afford to have these kinds of situations dragging on and on. And what you will find now, I suspect, is that because Tony Abbott's leadership has been so badly wounded, this will not go away anytime soon. You know, either one of two things happened in that party room today. You either had two-thirds of those who could exercise a free vote, that means not the people on the front bench, not the whips who are expected to vote with the Prime Minister, voted against the Prime Minister, or you had significant seepage from the front bench against the Prime Minister. Either scenario, I think, is untenable. It makes it very difficult for Tony Abbott. What on earth does he do?
How has it got to this point? He's such a wily operator. He was a minister under John Howard. He's been very close to John Howard. People like Philip Ruddock, Bronwyn Bishop, they've seen it all during their careers. He promised grown-up government, a government of no surprises, a government that would under-promise and over-deliver. How has it gone so wrong in 17 months?
Stuart, it's been extraordinary to watch. It's been very sad to watch. As you said, Tony Abbott, you know, he grew up at the feet of John Howard. There were lots of lessons to be learned over those 11 years of government. It doesn't seem that too many of those lessons have been learned, because what we've seen is, in many cases, a repeat of the 7 years of chaos. Now, I'm not talking about the big spending. Put that aside. I'm talking about
the internals.
Poor judgments, the internals, the mistreatment of backbenchers. I mean, if there's one thing that John Howard learned very quickly, that is you treat your backbenchers with respect. You know, it's the same in a sense of treating Senate members with respect. You might think they're nitwits, and many of them are, but you need to treat them with respect if you want to maintain your leadership. And the problem that Tony Abbott has seen is that he's put himself in a very bunker mentality in his office with the people in his office. They've had no idea about the frustrations growing. This is not led by anyone else except the grassroots of Liberal MPs within the government, many of whom are Tony Abbott supporters, and that's the great tragedy.
This is the point with it all, and it seems to me, again, given his history, he would have seen Brendan Nelson rise to become a leader at one point. Yes, it was short-term, but he was a leader nonetheless, and his leadership came about in large part by his duchessing of the backbench.
That's right. That's exactly right. Look, I think one of the things that I've learned just over the last, you know, 48 hours listening to Tony Abbott is that many of the criticisms that were pointed at him in terms of, you know, he hasn't transitioned into leadership, they are entirely correct, and sadly so. He was a terrific opposition leader. You know, you have to pay credit to what Tony Abbott did.
Sure.
Yeah, after he won that leadership ballot by one vote in 2009, he drew that party together. You know, he got rid of Kevin Rudd. He got rid of Julia Gillard. And then he got rid of Kevin Rudd. Again. Now, quite extraordinary, but he did that because he's very good with the negative. And in the last 48 hours, you've seen Tony Abbott basically saying, if you vote for me, we become Labor. I mean, he's basically trying to scare the bejesus out of Liberal MPs at a time when they are looking for vision about the government and direction for the country.
Look, it's interesting you say that because I mentioned earlier on this morning, if he was to survive this, which he has for now, it's got to be more than we don't want to go back down the Labor path. He's got to offer more than that, doesn't he?
Exactly, Stuart. And that's the big test for Tony Abbott now. There are other considerations. Does Joe Hockey remain as Treasurer? You know, Joe Hockey's performance as Treasurer has not been great. He has dragged down Tony Abbott. There's no question about it. But it is a team effort. And the buck stops at the seat of the Prime Minister and all of the shenanigans that have been going on within his office. I mean, some of the stories that have come out about what has been going on internally, and for goodness sake, voters aren't interested in this, but it has brought the country to the situation that we now find ourselves in, where two-thirds of those with a free vote have voted against the Prime Minister without there being a challenger. That's when voters start to take notice. They don't want to know all the reasons internally, but boy, oh boy, you can bet they're annoyed.
There's no question about that. And the problem we've got is that whilst the genesis of this may be completely different to the dysfunction that racked Labor, the end result's exactly the same, isn't it?
Exactly. That's exactly right. Happily, they're not spending money at the rate of Labor.
No.
But what we're seeing is instability. You cannot have the country in that same level of instability. Business can't make decisions. None of us can make decisions about, you know, anything at the moment because there's so much instability within government. And until we know that there's a firm set of principles in terms of what they're going to do with the budget, we're still talking about last year's budget.
Well, we're trying to frame the next year. So as someone who is a conservative commentator, follows these things closely, let's imagine for a moment they're 6 months down the track and Malcolm Turnbull is now Prime Minister. He's faced with a second budget that's still trying to do the patch-up work of the first. He's still faced with a very, very difficult Senate. He's still faced with the scenario that his poll numbers aren't going to be largely different to where they were the last time he was a leader. How do they turn this around given Bill Shorten suddenly doesn't have to do anything? And here is a bloke who knifed two prime ministers, was part of a big spending government, was responsible for a whole heap of stuff up himself. He's on the verge of the prime ministership.
The happiest person today was Bill Shorten. He would be happier if the number was, you know, stronger in favour of Tony Abbott. What he did not want to see was a change in leadership. And you're quite right to ask what's next. It's the question you have to ask Tony Abbott. It's the question you have to ask whoever may become Prime Minister if Tony Abbott is rolled. But there is a sense, I think, that Tony Abbott's leadership is in so much trouble because, you know, there's no understanding of where to go next. And I know that any kind of change is very risky. But you can't carry on in a situation where there's almost a sense of cluelessness about how the leadership needs to change and where the government needs to change direction. That cannot go on.
Look, I appreciate your time this morning. Always enjoy reading your columns. I see him another one there tomorrow.
Thank you, Stuart.
We'll read you in The Australian. Thanks, Janet.
Yes, thanks.
All the best to you. Janet Albrechtsen, who writes on a Tuesday in The Australian newspaper.